All right, Psalm 131. I'll read from verse 1. It says, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely," he said, "I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." Now, David was explaining a principle to us here, which we have to start today looking at again, because we ended last time when we began to look at it. But let me just review something briefly, what we have said up till now, the issue of the faith rest life. That's what I've been discussing. Now, for some time, of course, you know, we are talking about faith basics. What are the fundamental things about Christianity that we must all know? Now, we said that when we talk about faith rest, that's talking about the situation in life that the Christian walks in which the power of God is now manifested in his life. I said something last time, let me just repeat it again, that God does not walk while you are walking. Do you understand my point? That is anything you are walking on, or except you are directly obeying his instructions, God doesn't work on that project. Do you follow what I'm going to say there? So you choose something in life, either to labor with your own strength, or you labor with the grace of God. And Paul did that, he labored with the grace of God, and he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me did not prove vain in that I labored." That is, outwardly you look at me, I'm laboring and getting results. He said, "But it's not I. It is the grace of God working with me." What does that tell you? The grace of God is God's power that is manifested in the life of anybody that's walking according to God's order. And what do you mean by that? We said in life, there is a work of God. Everybody must understand that and identify the work of God for his own life. I said that being in the resting place of God does not mean you are idle. Let me say that again. As a Christian, waiting for God, I've thought about that thing again and again, how to wait for God. It doesn't mean you are idle and doing nothing. But it just means that you have identified the work of God for that moment and you are doing that work. Are you getting my point? That is, it is possible to attain to a place you are not laboring towards. That's the matter of fact. You know, something in life which confuses us a lot of times, because in our efforts to get results in life as Christians, we start learning and imbibing and working by natural principles. I've said something before. Natural principles are not necessarily wrong or evil. They work in their own level, all right? But there is a power that works towards those who believe, that does things beyond that which is natural. Do you follow the point I'm making here? That is, if somebody is walking by faith, there are things he did not labor for that he will get. For example, we read in the scriptures, David. David never labored to become king, and he became a king. Now, there are different ways we can tell stories of how to become a king. And I said this before, and I will say it again. Many of the people we are trying to emulate, all right? We don't emulate them properly. We're only emulating their actions without emulating their hearts, the position their hearts were in. For example, people will talk about, I've seen it before, how to come before the king. You are describing the life of Joseph. You forget that Joseph never prepared for going to see Pharaoh. Are you getting my point? Joseph never engineered his life so that one day he will meet Pharaoh. They say, when you are going to meet the king, you shave your beard. You notice that Joseph shaved his beard. I don't think Joseph shaved his beard. His beards were shaven for him. Is my English correct? It sounds fun. Somebody told him, "Your boy, sit down there. What is that? Be a beard. Come on, cut that thing." Are you getting my point? It's not as if he said, "Now I'm about to step into a higher realm. Now I begin to shave. Right? I begin to shave." Nothing like that. They say, "Is that him?" He said, "Yes, sir. Come." And he approached. The person go drawing BAB. Waiting with this. He said, "Now BAB, sir. All right. Off with the BAB. Now bring out an issue." You see that when we want to copy people on how they got results, we forget that something was carrying them, not they carrying themselves into that level. And that is what is called the grace of God. The grace of God is a power of God that brings forth results in your lives concerning things that you did not even labor concerning. But I said, doesn't mean that because you are believing that you are going to be idle. Paul said, "Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" That is, are we to continue in laziness that prosperity may abound? That's what he was trying to explain. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, "No, we can't." What do? We identify the work of God for each season. So God does your work, your life for you, while you do his own work. What is his work? Is that labor he has given you for each season. Life has seasons, and in each season of life, there is a work that God gives somebody. That which God commits into your hand, all right, while you are waiting for him is called the work of God. If you will do that which God committed into your hand, then God will be able to do that which he really wants to do through you. Let me explain again. If you are a preacher, as an example, you say, those days I used to go for Bishop Oyedepo School of Ministry every quarter. All right, I was always there 3 full days. And one of the things I learned there those days was the principles of church growth. All right, Bishop Oyedepo style. And I believe it. I learned quite a lot from it. Now, I got a series of tips once. Some people were in a Christian conference. Preachers were teaching on how to grow a church. And listen to this. Listen to this. One man said, how did he grow a very big church? Now, let me say something first. Sometimes people, you know, just the way you don't understand how results came to be. Like Solomon said, you don't know how bones were formed in the womb of a woman, all right? Now, you are observing from outside. Do you know? No, you don't. Let me ask you a question. Does the woman herself know? No, she does not. Now, life tends to put pressure on us sometimes. If we are the pregnant, if you are the pregnant woman, and you say, praise God, now that you have achieved this pregnancy, tell us how bones were formed. Do you follow my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. You have succeeded in life. People will now give you a microphone. Say, come and tell us how you succeeded. The fact is that you also do not know. But because pressure is put upon you to talk, you must prepare something now. That's why I don't listen to successful people. I listen to preachers of the word of God. People tell you that they are talking theory. I have noticed something. Hey, I'm beginning to digress now. How do I do this? Let me try and control myself. Give me 1 minute and I go back. All right? I've noticed something there. People tell you that preachers are talking theory. They are not talking theory. They are talking truth and the power of life. The men who talk practicals actually don't know what they are saying. I'm sorry. Because he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. The thing produces results. He himself does not know how. What am I going to say? Let me not go over all of that again. As Christians, let's locate the work of God. Let's stop trying to be smart. I've said something several times. I'm not walking as a believer by faith so that I will use the same principles that Muslims use and will get the same results. That's nonsense. I did not become a Christian or living my life of faith so that you tell me these are the same principles that Guru Maharaj's followers use. And they also get results. In that case, I'm not interested. I'm looking for something higher than that. Paul called it the power of his resurrection. That is, go to business school from now till tomorrow. Get all the degrees. You will work for a man who grace is upon his head. That's what we are teaching. That's what we are teaching. Listen, the challenge of Christianity, I keep on saying it, is to be able to believe and wait. It's hard. I think it's the hardest thing in life. That was why Saul failed. That was why Saul failed. It was difficult to wait. Samuel is coming. And when is he going to come? That's why Saul failed. Men who really succeed with God are the ones that they have learned how to wait. I was explaining again that waiting doesn't mean sitting and being idle. Waiting means what? Locating the work of God for each season. So I was saying something earlier about that church growth matter. So one man was speaking. That's why I digressed into that place. He said, I wanted to build a great church. How did he? Now, that's why I told that story. Because he said things that I could not believe. They couldn't be true. He said that when he wanted to build a church, he went around different people. He went to one particular man and said, how did you? The man has a 12,000 member congregation. He said, how did you manage? The man said, I make maybe 500 visitations a week. Something like that. That is, you visit 500 people a week. I mean, there are doctrines you hear and you reject on the spot. I rejected that one before you finished saying it. I'm not visiting 10 people. I'm not even visiting 5 people a week. Sorry, I'm not visiting 3 people a week. I'm not talking. No, really. 500 a week. Anyway, he said he wrote that down. Then he'll go somewhere else. Now, I'm adding many things to it now because I heard this many years ago. Now, this one I told you he said, but let me add other things just to illustrate my point. He'll say he'll go somewhere else, and the man will tell you he prays maybe 20 hours a week. So he too, he'll put it down and pray 20 hours a week. And you cut the long story short, you put all those principles down and they started building a church. The Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early and to pray 20 hours a week and do 500 visitations a day or whatever, a week. Because God giveth a large church to his beloved who does not visit anybody. Now, I'm going to explain the principle. But let me get back to the thing I was saying earlier. When I went to Bishop Oyedepo School of Ministry, he explained the principle here. That when he was in Kaduna, now listen to this. He started Winners Chapel in Kaduna, Living Faith Ministries, Living Faith Church. And for some time, I don't know how long, the church did not grow. And he said that, listen, if you are working with me, you will pray, your mouth will bend. I can't do anything that's not working and not find out why it's not working. So he kept on fasting and praying and fasting and praying. Now, I've told you before, prayer does not force things to change a lot of times. It only connects you with the wisdom of God. Because, listen, one of the reasons why things fail in our lives is because we are going against the order of God. And if you're against God's order, no matter how hard you pray, it won't work. So when you pray hard, what God does to you as a favor is to open your eyes to see what you did not know. Elihu said, pray like this, that which I see not, teach thou me. Are you getting the point? So he said that, what did he now do? Then one day the word of the Lord came to him. I don't know exactly how, but this was the issue. God told him that, look, sheep go to where there's grass. That you want church to grow, start feeding people. And what is food, when we're talking about church, is the word of God. Then he started, that was how he started breakthrough seminars. Every month end, he will have a 3-day seminar and teach the word of God. And teach the word of God. And he start, that is, visit anybody, why should I visit anybody? That you didn't come here to find a friend. You came here to find a pastor who teaches you the word of God. Do you understand what I'm explaining? So if I'm doing that, the church will grow. He said for a long time he was just doing what they call breakthrough seminars. Breakthrough seminars. Then one day, suddenly he noticed the church began to grow. And once he began, when they came to Lagos, the church grew from 2,000 people to 20,000 people in 12 months. From 2,000 to 20,000 people in 1 year. Why? Because this is a work of God for him. Just keep sowing the seed. And what is the seed? The preaching of the word of God. Please, you understand the principle. What a lot of us do, and this is where the challenge is, the ability to just identify that and stay with it. What a lot of us do is this. You look and say, how are they doing it in Winners there? You hear that, when you go there, first thing you're checking is, how is Bishop dressed? And they used to wear robe, you know, not robe, I mean traditional garb. So you go and throw away your suit and you put on agbada. Instead of church growing, people will say that, look at this man, he's chopping all the money, he's needing to buy cloth. You won't know that is the effect. Your expensive cloth. You know, there are, look, I've seen things. There are people that think that that's the key to church growth. The appearance of the pastor. If he looks prosperous, people will come there. Listen, these are spiritual issues we are dealing with. Do you follow my point? If you are building a bank, you can be shining the front so people will come there. But even then, after they've used it for a while, they'll know that there's real banking going on there. You're just fooling us with the building, that is fine. No matter how nice you look as a pastor, if you open your mouth and it's emptiness that appears. Listen, appearance is colored by many things. Once they hear the emptiness that's oozing from your mouth, suddenly all the shine in your clothes will disappear. When they see you, what they will see is filth. Why this man know they're washing clothes there? And they were seeing dirt all over you. But it's not really what you are wearing. It's the fact that when you talk, dirt falls from your mouth onto your fine cloth. Now, are you following what I'm saying? So, he identified the work of God for a pastor, which is to feed people with knowledge and with understanding. And they continue to do that until the church, people will fall over themselves to get there. A time came by, once they opened the church door, I was there in Lagos. Literally, no, literally, people will pass through the window. People literally will pass through the window. Why? Because there was a season that he identified what the work of God was. But a lot of people say, no, let's go and copy what they are doing. How is the building shaped like? How many ushers do they have? What are the kind of communication gadgets they use? Is his microphone an original show or it is a fake one? They go and borrow money to buy a microphone. And the microphone starts amplifying the nothingness coming from your mouth. So worsens your situation. Before, when you talk, only the people close to you are hearing. So you don't scare away those who are far. What am I saying? Use the microphone money to amplify the emptiness. Therefore, you drive even those who will have mistakenly entered the place in their troubles one day. When people say, I'm having trouble. Say, go and see that pastor. See which pastor. Don't hear what he says on Sundays. They've heard it before they came close. Why? Because people are not laboring the labor of God. They are not doing the work of God. They are doing the work of man. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what we've been saying. Now, we ended that one. And I said that I'll continue today by talking about how to quiet your soul. Alright? How to quieten your soul. Like David said in this Psalm 131. He says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Now, we've explained that if you enter into God's rest, if you are at peace, I said that last time, if you are at peace inside your soul, it manifests outside with, it manifests as the power of God outside. I said that the peace of God is not just absence of troubles. The peace of God is a spiritual force that directs things properly. So Jesus said you can get into a house and say, peace be unto this home. And peace comes into that house. And Paul said that peace can guard your mind. It can mount guard. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right. Now, so since we understand the importance of attaining that peace, we now say, let's discuss it. David said, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. What does that tell us? It's an active process. And we refer to what David said in Psalm 91. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, he said, under the shadow of the Almighty. I just want to tie those two things together. What was he saying there? That is, a man makes a conscious effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Then what he now experiences is what the Bible calls abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, God, look, these principles, they keep on showing up here and there. I just remember that I taught this in many years ago. That God always gives people what to do, a small thing to do, so that while they are doing it, he can do a great thing. What I mean is this. How do I get God's protection over me, following me everywhere? He said, it's simple. Don't try hard. He said, just locate yourself in a particular place, and you will discover that this thing is following you everywhere. That is, I make my effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Then God pours a grace upon me, which is called the shadow of the Almighty. Now listen to this. This is how faith is. The things that God requires us to do are always easy to do. Relatively. I pray we'll get this point. The things that God will tell us to do are usually comparatively much easier than the results we are trying to get. That's just the way it is. For example, I told a story earlier of a man trying to grow a big church. There are difficult ways to do it. There are very difficult ways to do it, which is what we like to do because human beings like to, you know, they like to exert themselves and it makes people feel sorry for themselves. You understand what I'm saying? That is, you want people to feel sorry for you. If you tell somebody, sit down here and God will bless you. You know, when he's been blessed, he won't have a story to tell. What did you do? He said, nothing. I just sat down. But what he wants to be able to say is, praise the Lord. The first day I realized that sleeping till 5:30 is not good. Therefore, I began to wake up at 4:45. Amen? Amen. And then I began to network. Listen to me. If you call me, I don't know what you're saying. I just hang up the phone. He started describing everything he did, which the Bible says contributed nothing to his success. Are you following what I'm saying? I keep on saying that's the challenge of Christianity. Human beings, I'm digressing, I don't care. Just learn something, all right? By force. That's where religion Alright? Gets its power from. People love bondage. Take it from me. People love bondage, and that's where religion gets its power from. If you tell somebody that, listen, this is your sin that you have committed, change your ways, all right? Confess your sins and you are forgiven. No. It's not easy like that. He said, now, you will say these prayers 25 times. Uh-huh, that's more like it. Then you crawl on your knees from here to Ugui Road. Uh-huh. Now he knows forgiveness is coming. What do you have in your house? God, all I have saved is 25,000 naira. Okay, you bring 24,900 and give to the poor. Yes, he likes it. Because tomorrow, he can oppress somebody else by telling him, you have sinned. How much you get? He now thinks he knows the key. No, I'm telling you, this is what human beings do. He thinks he knows the key. The other man I was telling you about, how do I grow a church? Simple. Say, sit down and teach the word. That one is easier to do, spiritually speaking now, all right? But you know, I said easier. I now realize they're actually harder. For most people, yeah, no, that's hard. Settle down. Let me keep talking. People come to you for prayers. I have noticed something. I need to say this. Christians are generally, no, not Christians. I withdraw it, not Christians. Human beings are generally very lazy in the things that matter. But they exert themselves in the things that don't work. You want to hold people in bondage? Declare all night prayers. Say, oh, how has it been? Okay, business has not been going on well. How has it been? Family, popohala. Ah, you know what we are going to do? We are going to fast 21 days. You break it at 6 with light soup or pap. Then you will show up and we will pray the whole night. Do you understand? That's what we are going to use. And we are going to break. Then another pastor comes and say, what is the problem? Well, how like this? That one is not a trouble. Sit down. Take this book. Read it. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Do I need to stay up at night to read it? No. You can read it then. Fall asleep and wake up in the morning. Keep studying. But look, it will go with repentance. God will teach you a new way. The guy doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Why? You know if he pray? There's one channel on TV I watch. You know, anytime I get there, I get irritated. God knows my soul gets angry. There's always one girl twisting on the floor. She's confessing right now. She's using a messenger of Satan. I said, get away. Every human being that's not born again is a messenger of Satan. What is the problem? It's the power of God. It's the power. It's a woman that runs that prison on the channel. I just look and say, God, why do you allow this kind of confusion to thrive? Deliverance day and night. But I realized that God won't shut them up. You know why? People who go there love it. They make it look like it's only women that have demon problems. I've never seen them cast this particular channel. I've never seen a man on the floor. Poor women who we know are more submissive to these emotional suggestions. Yes, they are more subject to it. That's why they are always the one being delivered. Read deliverance, delivers both men and women. Go and read your Bible. The madman, there was a mad woman, the one Jesus delivered. Was a madman, not a mad woman. Men and women, both of them have capacity to imbibe evil spirits. And God can deliver both. If you see where it's only women being delivered, just know there's nothing wrong with the people. They are just emotionally disturbed creatures. Look, what I'm telling is a matter of fact. But Christians love those kind. Look, human beings, they love it. Bring fowl, bring candle. But tell them, sit down. My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Let me teach you the ways of God and the thoughts of God. No. They start getting edgy. Tell them, get up and begin to break all the powers of the enemies. The person that is a friend of the devil wants to break the power of the devil. But then they settle down, they start getting edgy, irritable. They can't sit down to learn. Go to church tomorrow. Tomorrow is Sunday. Take a sense of 20 Christians. Say, when last you read a book that's a Christian book? Just in the last 6 months, if you have read one. If you get up to 25%, what is it? If you get up to 15% an average Christian, I think I should stop preaching. I'm not needed anymore. No, we don't read. No, we don't want to learn anything. Break the power. Many of you who have come to me before for counseling, if you know what I have done, I've started talking. I said, have you read this book? No, go and read it. Have you read this one? No, go and read it. This is not a joke. It happens all the time. People say, okay, we don't need to talk anymore. I read that book. That was the end of it. I remember very well one brother. He's not around now. I said, when he finished his story, I said, have you read the book Acquire Life? He said, no. I said, go and buy a copy and read it. Then the next time he came, he said, no, I don't buy, he's not buying a copy, I do now. I buy copies. I have many friends, I have my kind of problems. So what do? I give them the book. Once they read it, the problems in their lives also, alright, they are solved by the entrance of the word of God. I say boldly, Christians pray too much, if you know what I'm saying. I say that because it's not real prayer. Yes, that's what we do. Because there's no prayer that's possible that's not founded upon the word of God. There's none. You know the interesting part? Even repentance is not possible. Even the simple prayer of repentance is not possible until the word of God enters. Let me ask you a question. Did David know that killing Uriah was bad? When he was going to kill him. Think about it. That's David. Did he know? He did. He knew. Come on. Did he know that taking another man's wife is evil in the sight of God? He knew. How come he did not repent until Nathan showed up? No, the word of God, that's how it is. That's why no matter how strong you think you are as a Christian, if you're not actively imbibing the word of God, you are backsliding, you don't know it. The things you even know to be wrong, you will do it, you can't stop. Why did David not repent until Nathan showed up? Because even the prayer of repentance is impossible until the word of God enters. David knew that God saw him. Yet at night he would cover his head with pillow, hoping that God won't notice. Are you getting my point? You can't pray effectively. That's why Israel never could repent spontaneously until there's a reading of the book. It's the word of God that stirs you up to any form of prayer. Therefore, if anybody is not imbibing the word of God on a regular and daily basis, and he says he's a prayer warrior, just know he's a jobless warrior. What are you fighting with? Look, you know, we have different habits. There are those, their habit is smoking. There are those that have habit of drinking. There are those who talk too much. There are those who eat too much. All kinds of habits. It's just natural. I want to say this. There are those who are naturally, apparently now outside, they look spiritual. It's their natural state. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. A lot of people you call spiritual and prayer warriors, that's what they are. Nothing spiritual about them. They are just those kinds of people. Is there a natural thing you are seeing? Look, have you never seen people they call humble? All them humble, the guy they fear. Say, that brother is very humble. He's not humble. The guy they fear confrontation. A humble man is one that has power and is not afraid, yet does not use his power. Quietness and humility are not the same thing. There are unbelievers that don't talk. They don't know how to talk. They just don't like to talk. Well, I'm not bringing up something. So even calling yourself real, if it's not stimulated by the word of God, is nonsense. Arrant rubbish. I said all of that just to bring out an issue. That Christians, let's learn to labor. I taught that then, how to labor correctly. The real labor is actually easy. It's just that human beings love to take glory for themselves. Therefore, they exert themselves in the things that are not real. That's the problem. They are literally penny wise and pound foolish. Isaiah said like this, why do you labor for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your money, your energy for that which does not satisfy? I've always wondered that for all the prophecies and the manifestations we saw in the nation of Israel, why did they used to follow other gods? Why? I'll tell you. One of the reasons is because people just love to take glory. That's just the reason. God gives them one monotonous, simple thing to do. A number of times a year, your men will appear before the temple. You bring the sacrifices. Then, these are the things you do. Love your neighbor. Don't thief your neighbor's wife. Don't take your thief your neighbor's good. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Do these things and it will be well with you. After a while, it's too easy. Life cannot be this easy. They now go to Molech, one of the neighboring gods, that says, you want prosperity? Say, yes. You will sacrifice your first son. Now, you know the interesting thing? You think it is difficult. But the human being spirit, the natural person, loves that. Because he can tell a story of what he did, different from what the other person did. He wants to be able to explain why he prospered and his neighbor did not prosper. No, he wants to be able to do that. So when they tell him, you think that is a difficult thing. But actually, he loves the bondage. He crawls at night, sacrifices, he does all kinds of things. Especially, this is the next reason why people always go against, the will of God. They backslide, follow other gods. Because the other gods normally allow them to indulge their flesh. One thing Molech will never tell you is that take your eye away from your neighbor's wife. He won't tell you that. Yes, those vials that they saved, he wouldn't say that. My God is saying, listen, I just want you to exercise a bit of self-control concerning that which will not benefit you. I don't know what I hear what I said. God said, it won't benefit you. You're being deceived into thinking that this thing will be a blessing to you. I know it won't be a blessing. So listen to me, exercise a bit of self-control. I will give you grace for full self-control. They don't like it. Today I was watching, I think People on Power on Al Jazeera, a documentary, like a magazine program. And they're talking about, I think, other People on Power, another program. Anyway, they're talking about HIV fight, the fight against HIV AIDS. How the developed world is not spending the money they said they will spend. And they talked and talked about drugs and everything. I said, have you noticed? Nobody has yet agreed that this is a problem of morality. It is not a problem of science. It's not a problem of drugs. It's a problem, a simple problem of morality. Have you noticed that? Nobody, they won't agree. Why? Because the legislators in America, they all go, well, maybe not, but a lot of them sneak down to Thailand on sex tourism. And you want cure? God said, listen, I will give you a cure. That's not a problem. I'll give you a cure for all of this. But please, just simply acknowledge. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. I'm not saying you should look for a big laboratory to do research. Just acknowledge that, I'm sorry, it was wrong. No, human beings, you'll be amazed. We love bondage. We love it. You tell Nigeria, as an example now, then there is this presidential candidate. If he wins this election, God showed me. In fact, my name is God, I'm telling you. This nation won't be the same again. When you finish, the man will say, is it from our area? Once the answer is no, forget it. We'll rather continue bad roads, no water, no light, no everything, as long as we too produce the president. That's human beings for you. Why they are like that? I've told you before. Even if I didn't believe in God, at least one person I would believe in is the devil. Because the only explanation I have for this misbehavior of human beings, why should a man just be hurting his own soul? There must be a devil. There must be a devil. Thank God I believe in God, and he told me there is a devil. So I have my full explanation for human misbehaviors. What am I explaining? To step into the rest of God is actually truly easier. But human beings find it more difficult. Human beings would rather continue in bondage. When God said, what do? Step into the place of my rest. I will show you my work. And then, in due season, I will manifest my own work in your life. That's what God is asking for. And that is a problem. No, generally, we're not sabi. Let's talk. Let me, please, I just keep on going back there. I hope you are being blessed anyway. I said, what we want to discuss today? Let me try and do it. It's now that we know how important it is. How do we quieten and compose our souls? The scripture here is that Psalm 131 verse 2. David says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother. My soul, he said, my soul is like a wind child within me. He now said, O Israel, follow my example. Put your trust and your expectation, your hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. How do you do that? We refer from that to that Psalm 91. That's why I went into off that tangent. That is what is called actively dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, when I was thinking about this, I meditated, and now somebody can give you 10 principles, 10 steps. Somebody can give you one. Do you follow my point? They may be right, but I am giving four. It is not the word of God that there are four. It is just Banky's easy way of presenting this truth. I'm going to go over them in 4 points. Things that we do that will help us quieten, compose our souls. Do you follow my point? Now, if you like, you can write them down, even though, but let me just keep talking. I'll take them one after the other. There are four of them. Now, the first one is the matter of general understanding. What I mean is this. Generally understanding some principles about life. Because there are things that disturb our souls. And generally, those things are outward. They are physical. Do you follow my point? I've said to you again and again, I read about religions quite a bit. And I realized that what men are really looking for, right, is peace of mind. You know, I've been saying that again and again. What people are looking for is what? Peace of mind. Peace of mind. That's what people are really looking for. And one of the things that characterize whether Christians or non-Christians, people who are attaining to what they call peace of mind, is that one of the first things they do is learn how to relate with things that are material. Now, human beings, I tell you, they like the hard way. They often carry it to an extreme. Yeah, we do that a lot. We carry it to extremes, you know? In which they tell you that, like, the ascetics, all right? People who practice what they call ascetism. You know what's ascetism? Ascetism means that, as far as you are concerned, the things in this world are completely and very, very evil. Do you get my point? They are completely and very evil. So that, one, the man doesn't eat food that tastes nice. If you give him food, it must not be nice tasting. You mustn't serve it in a nice plate. You should put it in leaves. Do you understand my point? You know, how many people have ever heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Yeah, St. Francis also tried that one too. And hear from me, he also found out that it's not necessary. That's not Christianity. But people like to sit with that. St. Francis found out later that it wasn't necessary. Most people who really walk, after a while, they say that's not necessary. It's good to know the place of material things, but don't go into asceticism. Asceticism is not the will of God. It's as much sin, all right, as far as God is concerned, as materialism is. Because in both of them, you are putting your faith in the work of the flesh. Do you understand the point? In both of them, asceticism is the opposite of materialism. A materialistic man, all he's laboring for is food for the belly and belly for food. Nothing more than that. Chop life, enjoy life, build big house, wear expensive clothes. That is, just enjoy yourself. The ascetic decides that this world is so evil, all right? We must never enjoy anything that's on it. Listen to me, both of them are evil as far as God is concerned. Ed Cole is a man I love to quote on that. He said, balance is the key to life. What did I say? Balance is the key to life. God made food. You should eat it. Amen?